Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is. Thank you. It's great to be back. Usually, I take the weekend off to do some writing and some chores, some errands, and to be a dad, so I'm back. I'm on the air 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, starting at 6 to 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock, depends on how the show goes. And folks, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. And I am telling you right now, I am glad to be here. I am excited. I am totally floored to be here with you. Again, and I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it, and keep those phone calls coming in. Keep those that feedback and all of that great stuff. Keep buying my books, short stories, whatever you buying. Keep that stuff up, and keep coming in with those reviews. All right, we're gonna move right along. it is a gorgeous day out here, and I'm still talking about daylight savings time because the days are getting a lot longer. You know, we lost an hour's sleep, but hey, wow. I think we make up for it in some ways because the days are getting a lot longer and the weather is a lot better. And I'm hearing that that there's going to be a mild winter, which is great. And that's what I think they're saying it. This is because of something about the almanac. I don't know much about it, as you probably can tell, but, you know, I'm going by what I hear, and I know a lot of things you hear you cannot believe. Well, anyways, let's hopefully that it does be a mild winter. Actually, it was a mild winter because this is springtime. We're into springtime, but, you know, winter was just a few days ago, so, you know. So let's hope that winter doesn't show up during the spring as we have it, you know, because you know, like I've just said, it's been a mild winter, and that's been great. That's wonderful, but it's scary. Like I said in a few shows back, that I think we're being set up for the kill because, you know, some of the past springs that we've had, it has actually felt like winter. But, I mean, this is great. It's going to be 62 tomorrow in Chicago, and that's beautiful. That's great. And I want to say if you're in Chicago, get out there and enjoy the weather because you never know when it's going to change. Even the meteorologists or the weathermen, they don't know when it's going to change. They're just guessing, and they're predicting, and they're praying that they're that they're accurate. All right, you're listening to enough about the weather. Let's move on. Obama is in Havana, Cuba, trying to unite Cuba and the United States. Maybe he's done that. I don't know, but he's trying to unite them. Okay, the last time an American president, from my understanding, visited Cuba was 90 years ago, and that guy's name was Calvin Coolidge. So some people say this is a good thing for Obama. Some people are criticizing it. You know, yeah, this is going to happen. Excuse me. This is going to happen. And you know the people who are probably criticizing him for this visit. They're Republicans, of course. But, you know, I think it's a good thing to unite, I mean, Cuba with all of its human rights violations. Just incredible, incredible. All right, we're moving right along. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're talking about Obama in Havana, and they're saying this is going to be historic. Well, Obama is looking for something. He's leaving the White House in a few months. He's looking for something to pin his legacy on. He wants, when he's out of the White House, and he will be in a few months, he wants us to still be thinking about him. And with this, one of the things we'll be thinking about is this historic visit to Cuba and trying to bring United States and Cuba relations into one because of the atrocities and the human rights violations of this country. And maybe we can get that get some of that I don't know. Maybe it'll get better. Who knows? Get better. Relationships will get better. Hopefully that'll happen. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place, Google. I'm trying to put up a new website for this radio show. And just in general, I've been working on it, but I think I'm going to have to call the people who are in charge of this because I'm having some difficulty, especially with my domain name. And I paid for it, but yet I'm getting a name with the inclusiveness of the website, and I don't want that. You know, I just want it to be myname.com.net, and that's it. I don't need the website and its name lingering at the end of my name. So we're going to have to straighten that out. It's going to be a great-looking website, folks, and once it's done, once I can get this domain, my domain name for this website straight, I will be sending most of you that link if you want it. I'm pretty sure you will want it. And so I'm actually creating a website myself because I like to do things myself. I don't like to hire people to do anything for me, especially when I can do them myself and maybe even do them any better. So I'm the one who's creating this website for me. And I'm having problems with the domain name. I mean, the website is up. I mean, if I gave you the website, you can go to it and look at it and judge it. But actually, I'm still working on it. And it's beautiful. I think it's better than the last website I had, you know. And GeorgeWilderJr.com has been taken down. So don't even go there. And it's George Wilder J. Jr. It's George Wilder J. Wait a minute. I can't even think of it. George J. Wilder Jr. .net. And then there is something else / another name coming after that. And I don't like that. I want to get that off of there. I'm paying for this, okay? I can hopefully straighten this out in the short run. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we are. I don't know. Trump is really surging. He's really surging in the polls, and a lot of people don't understand that this guy is surging. So I went from talking about Obama to Trump because these things are in the news, and these things are affecting America as a whole. Donald Trump, I mean, this guy, I mean, whether you like him or you don't like him, I will never vote for him. I'm not saying people will not vote for him. I've had people call this show supporting Donald Trump more so than Hillary or Bernie. You know, but I am not a Donald Trump supporter. I think he's a bigot. I think he's a racist. I think he's not good for America. I don't think he's qualified for the White House. This is just me, all right? And this is how I feel. I don't think some people are calling him a creep. I mean, but he's up there in the polls. The guy's winning. And like I said in a few shows back, you have to really, really give him his due because he's a winner. And we all like winners. But I think that Donald Trump is a winner, but he's a winner that we do not want in the White House, him or Ted Cruz. Obviously, I do think that Ted Cruz is more dangerous than Donald Trump. he's more dangerous than Donald. For one thing, I think Ted Cruz, matter of fact, I know if Ted Cruz became president of the United States, he would walk back everything that Obama has done. Trump, I don't think Trump would walk back everything Obama has done. Why? Because Donald Trump identified himself one time as a Democrat. And I do think that Donald Trump still believes in some liberal policies. I truly do. And that's why sometimes you hear so many people out here, even though they wouldn't vote for Trump, even though they think he's a buffoon, a blowhard, a racist, they would rather see Donald Trump in the White House than Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz is dead fast on getting rid of everything, Obamacare, health care, and he's making up excuses of how it's no good. He would turn back everything that Obama has done for the country, especially some of the good things, the awesome things. Now, I'm saying awesome doesn't mean that I am an Obama fan. No, I've got my problems with Obama. I think I have my problems with him. So a lot of people do, but he is better. He has been better than George W. Bush. He cleaned up the economy after George W. Bush sank it. He bailed out the auto industry. He bailed out some of the banks who were claiming that they were too big to fail. So you have to give Obama his props on his way out. And now he's got this Cuba visit under his belt. I just wish he was in the Black American, the African American community, stopping some of these killings that's going on in the city of Chicago, and because it is random. I mean, violence is surging, and I'm saying, where's Obama? I mean, you know, this is his town, this is his city, this is his state. You know, so a lot of people, well, George, don't criticize him for that. I mean, he's doing something historical. The Cubans did not vote for Obama. We did. I'm not saying that this is not triumph. This historic visit is not a triumph to Obama. I'm just saying he's not done yet, especially in America. All right, 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Listen to me. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Because I try to put a lot into my shows. We will have no guests today. Yeah, I wanted to tell you that outright, that there will be no guests on the show. You'll just have me to listen to. However, starting tomorrow and on into the end of the month, there will be a guest on my show every day talking about whatever they want to talk about. And yeah, because I'm always booking this show. I'm always booking and looking for great guests to be on the show that can help you out as you listen to my show. All right. Okay. And what were we talking about? Donald Trump? I mean, so many people are calling Donald Trump. They're saying that if you're backing Donald Trump, if you're supporting Donald Trump, you are supporting a fascist movement. That means that basically all that means is that you're supporting a bigot, a racist, a blowhard, a bully, a dictator. And a lot of Black people are endorsing him. Check this out. Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, has come out to endorse Trump. African-American preachers, ministers have come out, and they are backing Trump. I mean, I've seen ministers all over the United States backing Donald Trump. I would never back him. I mean, because I don't think he's fit for the White House. But you have these high-profile African-Americans backing this fool, this racist, this hater, insider of violence at his rallies, but president. Now, these people, these pastors and these ministers who are backing Donald Trump, it's obvious that these people do not have nothing whatsoever to do with God. They're just using God to make their millions. You know, I mean, we've got pastors on the south side of Chicago, on the west side of Chicago. They're backing Trump. We've got celebrities, African-American celebrities, backing Donald Trump. I don't understand this. When he's a bully, when he's proven to be a bully, and when someone is a bully, just like Hillary Clinton has stated in some of her rallies, you have to stand up against a bully. If you don't stand up against a bully is going to continue to harass you, fight you in a physical way, and they're just call you names and all this type of thing, call you nasty names, actually. So a bully, I mean, and some of us have experienced bullies throughout our lives, you know, especially in school, grade school, high school, even junior college at some point. But you have to stand up against a bully. You can't, if you, you know, you have to stand up against them. And most bullies are cowards. You know, they're cowards. They want to see if you're afraid of them, try to make you afraid of them. But if you show that you're not afraid of them, hey, they may become your best friend. You never know. But it's just mind-boggling to why so many God-fearing ministers and pastors are backing a bigot, a hater, a racist. I mean, you could say, well, Sarah Palin is backing him. Well, she's an idiot. You know, I mean, I'm talking about African-Americans. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And Donald Trump is moving. He is moving. The Republican establishment, they are still at some point trying to take this guy down. They don't want him, boy. Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan of the Congress, they do not want Donald Trump. They and I totally don't blame them. At this point, I think Donald Trump would lose the general election if he ran up against Hillary Clinton. Even if he ran up against Bernie Sanders, he would lose. He would lose, but we don't want to take that chance because Donald could win this thing and be president of the United States. They're talking about a contested convention in a few months. They don't want Donald Trump. I can't understand why the hatred that you see at Donald Trump's rallies and the hatred and inciting of violence that comes out of his mouth, punching and slugging and fighting and vile hate that he condones at his rallies to mean that he is presidential. And all of these black ministers, African Americans, endorsing this. What does that tell you about them? Endorsing this kind of behavior. What does that say? Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I will be right back. Stay with me, folks.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
right. Okay. What I'm just hearing now, I've just been handed a piece of paper saying that the United States Congress is in play for a Democratic takeover in November. Not only the Senate, but it's the House. That's got to be good news to Democrats. It's a possibility, folks, that Democrats can take over the Senate, the House, and the White House come November if we all get out there and vote. That is some great news. I was wondering a few days back, what the hell was it? What did it mean that we were not able? Everybody was talking about taking over the Senate. The Senate was in play. And I'm saying to myself, what about the House of Representatives? I mean, the Republicans are ridiculous. What about the House of Representatives? And I just now seeing on Huffington Post, the website, that the House of Representatives in Congress is in jeopardy of being lost to the Democrats. And you know who they're blaming? They're blaming Donald Trump. They're blaming Donald Trump. That tells me that some of the Republicans are scared as hell of Donald Trump. This is why they're trying to, you know, one of the reasons why they're trying to get rid of him. Democrats already have reasonable odds of flipping a dozen or so House seats. And this is great. This is wonderful. But one of the things I like to say about Democrats when they get in power, I remember back in 2010 when it was Obama. He was president at the time, 2010. And he also had, Democrats also had the Congress. They also had the Senate. So we had all three branches of government, the presidency, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the United States Senate, three houses of government. And you know, we lost it quickly because the Democrats could not come together. They were lying. They were fighting. They were bickering. They couldn't agree on nothing. You know, they were vying for the camera. They wanted attention. People were sick of them, and they're bickering, vying, especially when they were vying for fame. They wanted fame. They would hold up votes on this and that. They would hold up votes on from the Senate, hold up votes on Obama. They just could not. They had everything, and then suddenly, the Republicans rolled in. Because the Democrats, when they had it all, they could not stick together. One of the things about the Republicans, whether they agree or not, they stick together. Democrats, when they've got it all, they're going every which way but the right way. And they wind up losing. So this is how they lost the House in 2010. They just could not get it together. Now they have another chance in 2016. A small chance, I'm thinking a very small chance, but a chance still. Okay, it says that Trump puts GOP House majority in jeopardy for the Republicans. You know, obviously there's a lot of people out there who think like I do, that Trump should not be anywhere near the White House. But then you got a lot of people who support him, which is crazy. But let's see. Okay. All right. Donald Trump is on the verge of two things once thought to be impossible. Okay? He's on the verge of two things that were thought to be impossible. Winning the Republican presidential nomination and putting the Republicans' historically large house majority in danger. So they're saying it's true. I think that's one of the reasons why they are trying to stop him. Democrats have for the past year discussed the GOP's 30 seat majority as a long term problem solvable only by shrinking it over several successive elections. But Trump's remarkable rise in the GOP presidential race and the backlash he has already provoked among the broader electorate has suddenly raised the prospect of a large November wave against Trump. Doesn't that sound great? They're talking about a landslide in the House of Representatives of independents and liberals and progressives. They're saying Donald Trump is going to cause the Republicans to lose the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, and maybe even the White House. Let's say if Donald Trump does become president and he has a liberal Congress, the guy won't get, he will not be able to get much passed. But you have to remember, he will have executive authority. That means he can get things done without the Congress. And that's bad. That's deadly. That's deadly. But anyway, it seems that Trump is making the Republicans more nervous than anything else before. The House GOP's leading indicators is its most vulnerable members like Representative Bob Dole, Carlos Carvalho, that's somebody's name, are already sounding the alarm against Trump and his rhetoric on women. Oh yeah, Trump have called women fat pigs, dogs. I mean, it goes down the list, and they figuring that a lot of them will lose the woman's vote, which will cause them to lose their seats. Hispanics and other groups, the party's outside groups are preparing for intensive fundraising push to help defend the chamber. The respected Cook County Political Report downgraded Republicans' chances in 10 districts Friday. And though the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which has been stung by overzealous predictions in the past, won't say outright that the majority is in play and the party is clearly thinking about, oh, it's in play. It's totally in play. It's doable. It is doable. The Democrats, the progressive, the liberals, the independents can take back the House of Representatives along with the House is the U.S. Senate in Congress. This can happen. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back. Let's see if we can play some. We don't have commercials on this show, folks. There are no commercials. There's nobody talking about selling Viagra or anything like that, or somebody on the show selling. There's no commercials on the show. But if you want to have a clip on the show touting your product, just give me a touch. Get in touch with me in my inbox on Facebook, and we'll see where we can go with that. All right. Okay, we're going to move right along. Let's see if we can't get a clip going here. Folks, if I sound a little nervous, if I sound a little broken up, it's because I haven't been on the air in a long time. Sometimes it takes two for me to really get back in the groove of some things. So I'm going to let's see what we got here. Martin, okay, we'll be right back, folks. Thanks for hanging in. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. And I was just thinking about the movies, Batman and Superman, Superman and Batman. You know, they say it's a good movie, and it's great, and all of that kind of stuff. And we're going to go and check it out. Yeah, we're going to go into I like stuff like that. The last time I think I went to the movies with my son, we went to see the Avengers, and that was great. That was wonderful, especially we was wearing those 3D glasses, and he got a really, really education about wearing 3D glasses because it seems like the characters are coming off the screen at you. So I'm pretty sure that's going to happen with Batman and Superman because when I was a kid, it was a Batman, Superman comics. It was Fantastic Four, Iron Man, you name it. I love the comics. They were 12 cents then. $100 now, I guess. But anyway, we're going to go check that movie out. They say it's pretty good. And a lot of people before, when they knew Ben Affleck was going to play Batman, they were a little skeptical. Even I was a little skeptical of Ben Affleck playing Batman, but we'll see, because one of the reasons why I was skeptic of Ben Affleck playing Batman, because I saw Daredevil. He was Daredevil a few years ago. I saw that, and it was totally atrocious. So I was skeptical of Ben Affleck playing Batman because of his role that he had years before that in another Marvel movie, which was Daredevil with his now divorced wife, Jennifer Garner. So, another thing about Batman, I didn't want to see, what's his name, the guy who played Batman three times before Ben Affleck. I can't think of his name. But anyway, I didn't want to see this guy, Christian Bale. I didn't want to see him play Batman either, because to me, I'm going to be a critic. I'm a Batman fan. We have all this, most of the Batman animated movies and stuff in the studio. I just didn't think Christian Bale was not a good Batman for me. Okay? I don't think he had the right voice for being Batman. I'm looking for Batman to be a voice like, what's that guy's name? Kent, I can't think of his name, but somehow he did not have the right voice, the animated voice of Batman. And I just didn't think Christian Bale was a good Batman, even though I saw all three of his movies, and I will say all three of the Batman movies, and I will say the best Batman movie that I've seen so far is no doubt the one with Heath Ledger playing as Joker. I mean, Heath Ledger did a phenomenal job. He deserved 10 Oscars for that. I mean, that is the awesomest Batman. The third Batman movie was a little junky, okay, from my standpoint. But Batman 2 with Heath Ledger as, if I can say his name, as the Joker was awesome. I mean, you go out and buy a DVD right now, a Blu-ray DVD, Christian Bale is not on the front of that. His photograph is not on the front of that DVD. You're going to find Heath Ledger's Joker on the front of that DVD, and well deserved. Okay, so we're going to go check out the Batman and Superman. I think it starts on March 25th. Okay, we should make it there hopefully that time, if it doesn't be too crowded. If it's too crowded, we'll just hang off and for another time, but we will enjoy it. And when I see the movie, I will bring it to you folks. Batman and Superman. There's a lot of women. I don't want to go see Batman and Superman. You know, I don't want to see nothing romantically right now. Okay. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, talking about Batman and Superman, which is coming up in maybe a week or so, a few days maybe. The 25th of March, I'm told. Okay, great. And I'm hoping that Ben Affleck doesn't disappoint, okay? as he did in the movie Daredevil. Okay. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. If you want, you can follow me on Facebook. Follow me on right here at Block Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. Google, you know, social media. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. All right, 347-857-1762. Let's move right along. The killing in Chicago, the mayhem in this town has got to stop. The police department, they don't seem to know what they're doing. Police Superintendent Escalante is this acting interim Superintendent Escalante. He is just not what it takes. I mean, because crime has gone up twofold under his watch. And now they have at least, from my understanding, they have at least three candidates in Chicago for the job. Okay, the Hispanics are crying that Escalante, who is a Hispanic, should get the job. And I say no, he shouldn't, because crime has gone up under his watch. I mean, like, I don't know what. People are dying in this city. It's just incredible, the violence. And 181,000 African Americans, maybe more, have left this city. They have left the state. We are losing the middle class. People are leaving this state, leaving their homes, and they're going to other states. When people leave and businesses pull up from your city and your state, you're losing tax dollars. But the mayor and the governor will not tell you that businesses are leaving. They will not tell you that people are leaving because of the violence. They will not tell you that people are leaving this state because there's no budget. They don't want you to believe that. But we know it's happening. We know it's going down. We know people are exiting. Chicago violence on the South Side is surging. The West Side is surging. What do we pay these police officers for? Somehow these guys are not doing their job. There is no reason for Chicago to be the murder capital of the United States. There are cities larger than Chicago with less violence. Now, you know there's something wrong with that. New York has less violence. Los Angeles has less violence. Why do we have more? Because we got weak-ass police officers who are afraid to stop, frisk, and arrest. Maybe they're afraid of getting shot. I don't know. But something has to be done about the ongoing and surging violence. People are leaving Illinois because of violence. We got to find a way to stop these guns from entering the city. Apparently, the mayor doesn't have a clue. The superintendent, he doesn't have a clue. This guy looks like he's afraid of his own shadow. He doesn't have a clue. Do you think actually that maybe this is some sort of conspiracy to get black people to move away from the west and south side of the city and bring in the corporate bulldozers? Some people are saying it's a conspiracy to get black people. The reason why we don't have enough police officers on the south and west sides of the city is because the corporate masters want black people to actually kill themselves off, leave the city, leave the state, so that piece of land, the south side and the west side, can become vacant. And then the city brings in the bulldozers to put up the condos, the highways, the streets, and make money off that land over there that's being used by drug addicts and thugs and whores, killers and murderers. Because that's all that's on the south side and west sides of Chicago, especially in those deep slum areas, those deep-ass ghetto areas where there's nothing but you know, torn down vacant buildings, vacant lots full of bricks and glass and rocks and cigarette butts, drug phenalia, sex, rubbers. You know, so a lot of these people over there don't have any hope. There's no jobs. There's no stores. There's nothing. There's nothing. It's a shame when somebody can't even sit in their damn car without getting shot. And there's so many people that, like I've just said, there's so many people who have moved away from their neighborhoods because the violence is just too damn much. Like I've said on the show a few months back, Chicago and its population have shrunken. There used to be 2-3 million people in this city. Now there's probably less than 2.5 million. People have booked, and they're leaving every day, just like the business. Businesses aren't coming to Chicago. Businesses aren't coming to Illinois. We don't have a budget. We don't have a budget in this town. Would you want to, if you had a business, a profitable business, would you want to settle in a state where there's no budget? No budget means simply they can't spend money because they're claiming that they do not have money to spend. And this is the reason why we are 10 months behind in a budget in the city of Chicago, in the state of Illinois, actually, because they're saying we don't have the money to spend. This is why Rauner is turning down budget after budget that is submitted to him by the Illinois legislature. He said, I'm not going to sign that budget. I'm not going to sign any budget for Illinois because we don't have the money. This is what he's saying. So we're 10 months behind in everything, and we're about so many billions and trillions of dollars in debt because of the spending ordered by the courts. There is still spending going on in Illinois, not because of Rauner, not because of Michael Madigan. It's because of the courts. I've said this before. If Illinois is standing right now, it's because of the federal courts ordering that a lot of these programs and some of this funding for vital programs keep going. Okay, let me back up a little bit. Bruce Rauner refuses to sign a budget for Illinois, which would fund some of the colleges and the universities that are now on the brink of closing down, and the students are either they're going to change schools or, you know, or just be upended. This is and Rauner's only excuse is that Illinois doesn't have the money. But let me tell you this, folks. When Rauner was running for a governor of Illinois, he talked about his turnaround agenda. I'm going to turn Illinois around. We're going to turn it around. What he wanted to do, he wants to bust unions. He wants to see unions gone out of Illinois, as any Republican governor of any state. Wisconsin, I mean, they've busted unions down to nothing. Rauner wants to do that too. I mean, it's been stated 1,000 times. Even he stated it in some of his speeches that he wants to bust unions. Therefore, Rauner has stated many times, if you want a budget for the city of Chicago, you also have to give me union busting powers. And in other words, Rauner said, if you want a budget for state of Illinois, you have to let me bust unions. And the legislature says union busting they're saying that union busting has nothing to do with the budget. They're saying let's take care of the budget first, and then we'll talk about your union busting agenda. Turnaround agenda. No, that's not going to work. So if you think about it, folks, Rauner says he can't sign a budget into law to fund a lot of these places that need funding, like colleges and universities and other funding sources, because there's no money. But then he'll say it. Then he said, well, if you let me bust unions, I will fund the state of Illinois. That sounds like total stupidity. That sounds like he thinks that we're dumb. First he says he's not going to fund it because there's no money. Then he says, if you let me bust unions, I will give you your budget. Now, and that's how it is in Illinois. That's why we get nothing done. Michael Madigan, who has just been reelected to the House of Representatives in Illinois, he says, we're not going to do that. We're not going to upend the middle class because you want to bust unions. And I do think that Michael Madigan won this one because Rauner poured a lot of money into some of these March 15 races, a lot of money for fake Democrats, a lot of money for fake Democrats, and he lost. I think he wasted $9.2 million on three candidates in the election on March 15th, and he lost. Now he sounds like he's a little softer. He may be able to negotiate and compromise with the Democratic legislature because he lost. He realized that the people spoke against him. However, a lot of us still feel that he will not get a budget for this state. He's dead fast in that because he wants to bust unions. Karen Lewis, the head of the union in Chicago, the public schools, she called Rauner a sociopath. I like to call him a lot of more things, a lot of other things that are worse than that. She called him a sociopath. You know, so like I've said a million times, Illinois has never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. We've got high-ass taxes, higher than anybody, any other city, any other country in the world. Thank you, Mary Emanuel. And then we got this governor who refused to sign a budget for the state of Illinois. That has never happened. In general, we have politicians who are ruining this state. Not you, not me, not those children. Grown men. Politicians who are taking this state into the damn ground. And it seems like nobody's doing anything about it. They're just letting it happen, folks. But I think Rauner knows one thing, that the people have spoken on the 15th. I believe he's up for re-election in 2018. He will be out of office in 2018 if he tries to run again. I'm not sure. But if he tries to run again, he better be a little bit more lenient on trying to get a budget for the state of Illinois. You know, it's just something. And I want to go back to the people leaving Chicago because of the surge in ongoing violence. Some people are saying that it's a conspiracy to get black people to leave those communities because people are leaving in droves. Those wastelands, if you want to call them that. You know. And they're going to, you know, it could be a conspiracy to get people to leave the city of Chicago. Let this happen. Why else is all this killing going on? Let them kill each other. Let them kill each other. And when they kill each other, they can get out and we can go in there with the bulldozers and bring up the high rises, the stores, and all of this kind of thing, and the shopping centers, the malls, the highways. Get them out. Wow. They're still talking about Batman and Superman. It looks awesome. You know, I'm looking at it on my screen. It looks awesome. And I have to tell you, folks, like I just said, I am a comic book fanatic. I love these comic book movies. You know, I think the first one I went to see that was anything was The Avengers. We went to see that. That was awesome. We went to see The Avengers 2, I think. That was not so awesome. And one of the things I love Iron Man, too. I am a big fan of Iron Man. However, I'm not a fan of Robert Downey Jr., the guy who plays Iron Man. Have you ever noticed I think there's been three of them made. You ever notice if you've gone to see an Iron Man movie that you see less of Iron Man and you see more of Robert Downey Jr.? And, folks, I hate that. I mean, I've gone to Iron Man movies. If you don't know, Robert Downey Jr. is the guy who plays Iron Man, okay? He's the actor who plays Iron Man in all three of the Iron Man movies, Marvel comics. So I just, you know, I'm just appalled at seeing Robert Downey Jr. I mean, you go in there, you sit down there for 2 hours watching an Iron Man flick at the movies, and all you're seeing is Robert Downey Jr. You know, I mean, I didn't pay my $15 to see Robert Downey Jr. I paid my $15 to see Iron Man, you know. And that's what happened to me in Iron Man 2 and 3. Okay, there was some action in there. There's some good stuff in some of those. But basically, it was Robert Downey Jr. And even in Iron Man 1, it was basically Robert Downey Jr. I have nothing against him as an actor. He's a good actor. I'm not going to say great, but he's a good actor. But for my money, I wanted to see Iron Man, not Robert Downey Jr. But I mean, you know. So, but most of those movies that you go to the Iron Man movies, most of those movies you go to see, you see a lot of Robert Downey Jr., you know, and I just hate that because I love Iron Man. I love the way he looks, the way he flies and all that kind of thing. Yeah, a lot of yapping from Robert Downey Jr. is not good. Okay, there was three, let me wrap this up. There were three Iron Man movies made. Okay. The best one that I liked, the best one that I thought was about anything, was Iron Man 1. Just totally Iron Man. Of course, starring Robert Downey Jr. Even though there was more of Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man 1 than you would see of Iron Man himself. It was a better movie. It was a better movie. And I also think the first Avengers was of that genre, of the best of that enterprise. You know, so it's the first movie of everything. Even though most of the movies are action-filled, you know. So listen to me, folks. I'm talking about Iron Man and Superman and Batman. I am just a fan. You know, I'm just a fan. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're talking about basically Chicago violence, folks. It's just phenomenal. And a lot of people are saying maybe the police are letting these people kill each other over there so they can move out, get out, and bring in some people think it's a conspiracy. I'm not one to say that it is, and I'm not one to say that it isn't. But I do know the police are not doing their jobs, or maybe they're. I've heard so much that the police are afraid they're going to be on camera, they're going to be on YouTube, you know, with videos showing them mistreating some of those citizens on the south and west sides of the city. I don't know how much gravity I would give to that, but anyway, we have to do something about this violence. Something has to be done. because you're not going to have anybody in the state of Illinois, especially in Chicago. They're all leaving. Everybody's leaving. Businesses are leaving. And this is, and businesses, like I just said, they're not only leaving because of the violence, they're leaving because there is no budget. There's no state budget. The governor is not paying his bills. I mean, when you don't pay your bills, you go to a collection agency. I mean, the credit has been down. The credit in Chicago and virtually in Illinois has been downgraded 1,000 times, and these politicians don't seem to give a damn. They don't seem to give a damn. When you have bad credit, you can't get a car loan. You can't get a bank loan. You can't. You just can't borrow. And if you do borrow, you're going to pay a hell of a high-ass interest rate for borrowing that money because you are a risk. And that's what's happening to Illinois. That's what happened to, what's happening to Illinois. Let's put it this way. Illinois was in trouble before Bruce Rauner was elected financially. It was in trouble. No doubt about that. People said that a lot of times, and I agree with them. It was in trouble, financially debt. Pat Quinn, the former governor, was not a great guy. But he would have never, when it came to finances I'm talking about, but he would have never, if he'd have got reelected, we would not be here today. This guy genuinely cared about the schools where Rauner does not. Rauner talks about taking over the schools and making them better because our schools are in debt too. Our schools do not have any money. So he talked about taking over the schools and making them better. How in the hell can you take over the schools, Bruce Rauner, and make them better when you can't even get a budget for the state of Illinois? What makes us think you're going to do right by the schools when you can't even do right by the state of Illinois? I think he dropped that. He done dropped that proposal of taking over the schools and putting his people there. We don't even have a budget for the state of Illinois. And a lot of people have been saying that, echoing that, as I am. You know, we don't have a budget. But anyway, we got Ken Duncan out of there. So maybe, maybe come November when Juliana Stratton is sworn into office, that we can override Rauner and get a budget for Illinois. But that's in November. We have to wait in November to override Rauner? But I guess that's the way it goes. I think Juliana Stratton is going to have an opponent in the November election. But anyway, we got rid of Ken Duncan because he was just a turncoat fake Democrat who took money from Rauner. And Rauner funded his campaign for reelection, which Ken Duncan lost 2-1. I mean, Juliana Stratton crushed Ken Duncan in the election on March 15. Dashing hopes for Bruce Rauner to overturn just about everything that the legislature is going to start doing, hopefully before November. I don't think we should. I actually don't think Illinois should be without a budget for a day. But since the legislature, so since she's not sworn in yet, it won't be until November because I think she's going to have an opponent to run against. I think she's going to win it outright, but still that's a long time. We'll be almost into a year without a budget. And this is hurting Rauner. I mean, the guy's poll numbers is in the toilet. His poll numbers are in the damn toilet. But when I saw him today, he came out like he was a little softer. He doesn't like talking to the press. He doesn't like answer Q&A sessions. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like meeting with the press. He just doesn't like it. I mean, people stick microphones in his face. He just walks on. He just walks on by, you know. So we'll be able to override him come November. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio at 701 out of Chicago. I believe it's around, if I can guess, maybe 40 degrees, 50. But I'm by the lake. It's always cooler by the lake. It's always cooler by the lake. Well, sometimes it's colder by the lake. All right, you listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to be talking some more about the crime in the city of Chicago and people leaving Illinois. 181,000 people left Illinois since the year 2000. I'm pretty sure, but that's 2000. That's why I'm going to say I think it's a hell of a lot more people who have uprooted from Illinois. And a lot of people who are uprooting from Illinois, they're going south. They're going south. And you know what? When they go south, they think they're running into more Republican governors. You know, because the Republican governors are saturating the south. Mississippi, Alabama, Dallas, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Republican governors are in some of those states I just named, and more. But what's really getting me is people being upended on the south and west sides of Chicago, and the police are not protecting them from violence, so they're deciding that they're going to move, and they move. They go. And the powers that be are letting this happen because they want that land. So if they let people constantly kill each other, they'll kill each other off, and a lot of people will start moving out. That land becomes a ghost land, and here comes the bulldozers. Here come the corporations. Here come the tall condos, the houses. Now, I don't know if that's happening, but it could be, and it's awful if it is. Awful if it is. Police should focus their time on trying to find working out plans to end the constant bloodshed. I mean, a police officer was just shot, I believe, yesterday in the leg. A couple of thugs walked up to him while he was parking his car, getting out of his car, and they pulled a gun out on him, not knowing that he was a police officer. And maybe some of these thugs will soon realize that most of the people that they try to rob and walk up on and put a gun in their faces, that person that you're trying to rob, that person is armed. But they can't think like that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I have a clip here I'm going to play, excuse me, that I'm going to hook up about Chicago violence. It's just a mess, folks. And violence is horrible everywhere, even in Detroit, Missouri, Maryland, you name it. It's just crazy. And you can tell yourself, are you better off now? Is things better off now than when Obama was not president? I mean, Obama's been president for almost 8 years. And it seems to me, folks, that things have gotten a lot damn worse. Crime is through the roof. Sex trafficking is through the roof. Killing, murder is through the roof. Deviant crime is through the roof. Racism, bigotry, you name it. Are we better off now that Obama has been president? Hell no. I'm not saying it's Obama's fault, because I think the job, the economy, the job reports for the economy is 4.9% or something like that. So that tells me that people are working in certain parts of the country, because people are unemployed in Chicago. Believe me. Believe me. All right. We're going to be right back, folks. If we can if we can find this clip. We'll be right back, folks. Let's see.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say-so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on LaSalle Street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let them. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Trump City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserve the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We're not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping.
Right.
A budget has nothing to do with remapping.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote. Get the vote. That we need to be talking about, how do we fund those essential things that make us competitive, not only in the United States, but in the global economy. This is not about being a vulture capitalist. Who do you know, where do you know that a CEO tears down his own business just so he can make more money? Vulture capitalists. That's what they do. This is not a vulture capitalist situation. This is a budget about people, the budget about numbers, or that in his mind, a budget about numbers. There's a face on every dollar that's in the budget. And we want those dollars spent on the things that we need to be the citizens that we can be. And that is making sure that we have not only daycare, but many of you also know we need people working night care. Because this is a 24-hour city, it's a 24-hour fight, and we're going to stay in it for 24 hours as long as it takes. So let's stay together, let's stay connected, and we beat the bully.
All right, we're back. Republicans, 66% of the Republicans say they are embarrassed of Donald Trump, if I can say it. 66% of the Republicans say they are embarrassed of Donald Trump. And a lot of the Republicans, like I just said earlier in the show, they are going to try to contest him. They're going to try to stop him. He's an embarrassment. He totally is. He doesn't know a crap about being president. He never ran for office in his life. What makes him think he can be president? His popularity? That doesn't give you, doesn't say that you have the experience to be president, because you can win states here and there. You can get delegates here and there. You have to have some sort of experience to be president of the United States. You just can't walk in there, which is what it seems like Donald Trump is getting ready to do. Let's say if Donald Trump becomes president, with his temper, with his demeanor and the way he does things, people are going to be rioting all around this country. People are going to be rioting all around the world. He's talking about riots. It's going to be one if he gets elected. I mean, look at his rallies. Check out his rallies. His rallies is going to mirror the United States if he becomes president. It's going to be riots all over the place. Because this is what he stands for. This is what he incites. This is what he wants. He now says he doesn't want that. But at every rally he's given and the future rallies, he's going to, if something goes wrong, first thing he's going to do is say, hey, wow, knock the hell out of him. He's something. They are going to try to stop him. But Trump is on a roll. He's totally on a roll. I think the states coming up is Pennsylvania, a lot of the other states that are coming up tomorrow. This is Monday, another Super Tuesday. Donald Trump is going to run the gamut. He's going to win all of this stuff. And I do think they say that Bernie Sanders has a chance to win Oklahoma. But I do think that Bernie may win one state. Cruz may win a state. But I do think in the long run it's going to be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump going into the general election. Okay? It's going to be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump going into the general election. Folks, this is something to watch, especially the contested convention, Republican GOP conservative convention that's going to be here in a few months, maybe a couple of months, you know, and who knows, they're going to be trying to knock off Donald Trump. They're going to try to – they rather have – I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Republicans, they rather have Ted Cruz. They rather have Ted Cruz to run for president than Donald Trump. But I'm going to say, tell you something, folks. Ted Cruz is a lot more dangerous than Donald Trump. He is. There's no doubt about it. The man is. I mean, he's talking about ripping Obamacare apart. I mean, he's going to rip it by the seams like it's so bad. And when he does that, that's going to up because a lot of people – of course, Obamacare isn't for everybody, but the people who are benefiting from it, you think they want their health care to be dismantled, repealed? Hell no, they don't want that. So – and Donald Trump, if you go back to Donald Trump, Donald Trump's got everybody hating him. He's got women hating him. He's got African-Americans hating him. He's got Hispanic hating him. How can this guy be president? He's the KKK has endorsed him. All of these white supremacist groups have endorsed Donald Trump. How in the hell is he going to govern? And if Donald Trump winds up being the nominee and winds up being voted in office as president of the United States, what is it? What's to say that this guy doesn't think inciting violence? What's to say if Congress doesn't want to work with him, refuse to work with him? Of course, he has executive powers. He'll use that, but he may use in the wrong way. You know, Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is lavishing in all the attention. He gets more free publicity than anybody. And he always saying that he's funding his campaign. Some people are saying he's only borrowing money from his campaign. Okay, that's another story, but we'll have to look into that. Anyway, it's going to be something else coming up. And I'm just hoping the governor of Illinois comes to his senses and supply a budget for this state. This state, Illinois, is hurting. It's hurting. Believe me, folks, it's hurting. And the politicians are letting it bleed. Can you believe that? They're letting it bleed. Of course, they have their homes. They have their cars. They have their money. They have their jobs. You know, but a lot of people out here do not. A lot of people don't have jobs out here because Rauner cut the budget, the funding stopped, so they lost their jobs. 60 to 70,000 kids who are in daycare centers have been upended by this governor. You know, so and he's basically he's saying what I just got through saying that, well, we don't have the money to spend. But if you let me bust unions, I'll make sure we find the money we spend and get a budget. You know, this is crazy. This is crazy. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. It's 7:20, folks. It's just about time for Open Our Eyes. So, you know, this is crazy. Illinois is hurting. Other states are hurting. Some of these politicians, they could manage their way out of a paper bag. That's the truth, folks. I just don't understand some of these people who are in office. A lot of these guys who are in office should not be there. They're unqualified, just like Trump is unqualified. He is hated big time. Not disliked, but hated. And Donald Trump will be or could be the nominee for the Republican Party. He's on a roll. He's going to run away with this thing tomorrow. And Donald Trump is saying, if I got all these delegates and I have enough delegates to win a nomination and you don't let me win it, then there are going to be riots. He's always inciting violence, but then you ask him if he's inciting violence. No, I'm not inciting violence. Then he goes right to his next rally, and he's inciting violence. But, you know, we're going to have to see, folks. We're going to have to check this out and stay with this. If you're not politically in tune, you should be. Because, folks, this is affecting everybody in the United States, even around the world. I mean, you got world leaders around the world. They don't want to see Donald Trump get to be president because of his stand on violence. I'm hearing that some people are going to be walking out of his walking out of his rallies and walking out of his venues that he's going to be tending because they don't want to hear him because he's full of vile and hate. He's a racist. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about that. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting as we go along into this election year. It's going to be very, very interesting. Thanks for sticking with me on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're broadcasting live out of Chicago. It's been fun. It's been great. We got about a little over 2 more minutes left into the show. We're going to talk about Nabisco. That's a company that makes Oreo cookies, and some other products. They have been in Chicago for many years, and they're deciding to pick up and leave. I believe they're going to China. No, they're going to Mexico. I'm sorry. Mexico. They're leaving Chicago. This is what happens when we get those disastrous trade bills. Just to mention one, partnership. It's bad. It's a bad trade deal. Folks, if you're working, if you have a job, always be on your pins and needles. You never know when that job is going to go overseas somewhere. China, Vietnam, Korea, and a lot of other countries where they have cheap labor. That's one of the things I am against Obama on, because he's trying to push this TPP through. And it's totally a bad trade deal, just like NAFTA and Bill Clinton. They take jobs away from the United States. They take jobs away from citizens. Nabisco is just one of the latest companies that is packing up and leaving. Why? Because they want cheap labor. They want money. They're going to go start making their cookies and their donuts and all of this and their cakes in sweatshops where the people are making 50 cents or less an hour. Their children. This is a damn shame. All right, we just about got 33 minutes left into the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you join me tomorrow, and goodbye. Bye-bye. We got it? Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.